much appreciate, say the Lord, because I believe it's the Lord working in the matter, that Brother Jackie was calling first. He said something that made me smile, and that's the thought, I hope I don't get called on. And that's a real thought for preachers, unfortunately. And it's not that we desire not to brag on our God. It's that sometimes in our flesh we are unsettled on where we think we might want to be in the Scripture. And I truly believe if a man is worth his salt, he wants to be where the Lord wants him to be.
Amen.
But sometimes when you come to a new place, you come among a congregation that you don't know. I don't know the issues here at Sulphur Springs. I don't know you. So I want the Lord to guide my thoughts, and I want the Lord to be in the matter. And I'm very thankful this evening that the Lord has been in the matter. He used Brother Jackie to bring out some things that are on my mind. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the greatest blessings in my life, is when the Lord uses another man before me to confirm what was on my mind. That just really picks me up. It gives me comfort, and it gives me confidence in my God.
Amen.
And I just want to thank him for that. He essentially talked about, again, the opponents of the word, but the temptations that we deal with in life. And I guess that's the struggle. And the struggle is real.
Yes, it is.
I deal with it every day in my life, and I know you all do too, whether you want to admit to it or not. The struggle is real. Life is real. Life is hard. And guess what? It keeps going on.
Yes, it does.
The older I get, I've decided the more frequent I think about leaving this place.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, when I was young, I was looking for what all I wanted to do in the world. The older I get, I'm just, my mind, it just changes little by little by little.
Amen.
And the words of the word mean more and more and more. Jesus told his disciples in the last verse of chapter 16, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The disciples did go through a lot. From this point until Christ was resurrected and came back, and even when he was among them, they went through so much trying to understand what was transpiring right before their eyes. And I don't think they ever really fully understood it, even after Jesus was around them for 40 days and then ascended back to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost, and they recalled all the things and started penning all these words. But I still think as they were penning the words, they did not fully understand or grasp what had really happened.
Right.
You know, they saw it, they lived it, they believed it, they trusted it. But I'm sure they sat around some nights and say, "How in the world?
Amen.
How did that really happen?" And as they continue to live life and continue to pen, and then the Apostle Paul comes along, they had to deal with life just like we do. Now, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I believe that they had to deal with a harsher life than we have to in this day. I would lie to you if I stood here and told you that I feel like I've got a hard life. I do not feel that way.
Yeah.
I sleep in a nice heated and cooled house, a comfy bed. I've never missed a meal in my entire life.
Right.
I've rode in a vehicle everywhere I've went since the day I was born, unless I chose to ride my horse. I don't struggle. I don't think any of us do. Have it for a long time. These men did.
Yes.
Real struggle. And as I consider their life, and as hard as they had it maybe physically, they also dealt with it up here. Mm-hmm. And that's where we do struggle just like they did. We all struggle in the mind. the brother brought it up. And that's what James talks about. And James is a kind of an interesting book.
It is.
It's about 95% practical. There's some doctrinal truth in it, but it's about 95% practical. And it begins right out of the gate. I mean, verse 1, James introduces himself. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Here's the greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. I mean, what a way to start a book.
Right.
What a way just to jump right in. I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, the Holy Spirit guided Paul to say, you know, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, you know, according to the will of God, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. James just jumps in.
Amen.
But he jumps in a way that almost, if you're not careful and you read too fast over it, you miss the point. He says, count it all joy. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a temptation, when I'm going through a hard time in my life, which I'll confess, probably 90% off are self-inflicted.
That's right. Yeah.
It's hard for me to grasp or grab onto the joy that I'm supposed to be focused on while I'm going through this trial or this temptation. How about y'all?
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, do y'all just, you know, like that sheep? Y'all, I know most of y'all have probably seen the, you know, that Facebook post, you know, sheep's in a ditch, you know. Shepherd comes out, picks him up out of the ditch, sheep jumps about three times, bloop, right back in the ditch.
Yeah.
You know, when I fall into the ditch, I'm not the guy that, you know, woohoo, glad to be back in the ditch.
Right.
No. How about y'all? Mm-hmm. I mean, surely that's not y'all's first thought either.
No.
It's not mine. But James says to count it all joy. Count it. Count it all joy. Knowing this, here's some knowledge. Now, most of you in this room, I'm going to say, are older than me. Knowing this, how much knowledge, how much experience have y'all had in this arena? Are you experienced? When you look back, just say over the past 5 years, have you counted your trials? Have you counted your temptations? This is a thought that's come to me recent because it seems to be that I'm going through such extreme temptations, trials, but I can recall them better.
That's right.
I can look back and remember and count what I've been through. Now, when I was going through them, it was not joyous.
Right.
It just wasn't. I would have taken joy. It just wasn't. It was almost like the earth was falling out from underneath my feet and I had no footing. I could not find a good ground to even grab upon to just have something stable in my life, except for this. I didn't count it joy. But let's read what the word says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, that's good news for me.
That's right.
Because I need as much patience as I can get. I really do. Y'all don't know me either. But just trust me. I need as much patience as I can get. As I consider that thought, I want to look at one verse. Y'all don't have to turn there. This is a verse I remember when I was 18 years old. No, I'm sorry. When I was 22 years old. My pastor at the time, I was dealing with some stuff, and I went to him, and he gave me some Bible, which I'm very thankful for. He carried me to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man." In other words, I'm not going through something new.
Amen.
There's nothing new under the sun. Amen, brother. There's not. And I'm not going, none of us go through something new. Someone else has experienced it. And Hebrews tells us that the Lord feels everything that we feel.
Yeah.
So he says, there's no temptation that hath taken you, but it's such as common to man. But God is faithful.
Amen.
If y'all do have your Bibles and you want to turn over there to it, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you can highlight that.
Amen.
God is faithful. Why does he interject that there? Because we need the Lord to get through our trials.
Amen.
Where would we be? I say, y'all, where would I be? If I didn't have the Lord to lead upon, if I didn't have, praise be to God, counsel of good men to carry me to the Word and point things out to me at a young age that I held on to for so many years. Why? God is faithful. He's faithful. And he's faithful to you. Ain't that amazing?
Amen.
That's an amazing thought. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? So in the moment, we oftentimes, because we're so pitiful,
right,
you know, we love, how are you? I'm just not good. What's wrong, honey? Come on down here and have a seat. Let's talk about it. We love to be coddled.
Yeah.
But the Lord says, listen, I'm the one that's faithful.
Amen.
And you're not going through anything that I haven't supplied you able to go through.
Amen.
So, he will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able. But with the temptation also, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
They're all escapable. Every one of them.
Amen.
Right.
Every one of them. Why? God is faithful.
Amen.
So, back to James. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You think God knows we're impatient?
Yes.
You think God knows how sometimes we're short with people? And don't talk to folks the way we ought to. Don't talk to our children, our grandchildren. You know, just short-tempered. I know y'all ain't short-tempered. Y'all some like, I can just look across it. Y'all some long-suffering individuals. I hope you are. If you go through a lot of trials, you might consider maybe I need to be.
Yeah.
I'm talking to me now. This worketh patience. And it says, Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. Verse 5, I think, is maybe one of the keys to this. And when I was looking at this, I actually started out in Proverbs 8, which Proverbs, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding. And it drew me over here because it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So why does wisdom come into play here? What does wisdom have to do with patience, have to do with the temptation? Well, sometimes, unfortunately, we forget to ask God for wisdom.
That's right.
Oh, y'all too? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens. Now, we have the wisdom of the world.
Right.
That's talked about in James 3. You know, that senseless, selfish, devilish wisdom. You know, we've got that wisdom. But I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from above.
Amen.
That's first pure.
Right.
Gentle. Easy to be entreated.
Right.
We forget to ask for that wisdom. But we need this wisdom to let our patience have her perfect work. And And then that brings about joy even in hard times.
Amen.
Kind of sounds out of this world.
That's right.
You know why? Because it is. It's the mind of God that He has placed in you. Think about when Jesus was up in the mount talking to Moses and Elijah. I think that's right.
Yes.
And what was He talking about? What He was going to accomplish.
Amen.
Do you not know that Jesus knew what He was going to have to go through to accomplish
Amen.
That? And He was yet joyous over it.
Yeah.
He was joyous over it. What is it for the joy He endured?
Mm-hmm. For the joy that was set before Him.
The set before Him. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love that. Good brethren close by. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the shame of the cross. The joy was as He was looking at us.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
When we have our joy, we need to be looking at Him.
Amen.
So if you lack wisdom, do you know all you got to do is just ask for it?
That's right.
It's that simple. When's the last time? My mom and dad are still alive. Thanks be to God for that. And I've got godly parents. And, you know, they're gracious enough to me that even at my age, when I go and I need something and I ask, you know, they usually just give it. In fact, they give more than what I ask. They'll give as much as they feel is needed. But what if I don't ask? How are they supposed to know? Now, God knows all. But you parents know, isn't it sweet when them little ones come? I know my little ones.
That's right. That's it.
You know, my little ones come. Daddy, can I have this? And they give me a big old hug, please. Well, it's hard to say no.
Well,
that's the way the Lord views us. We come and we come to the Lord and we, Lord, I need wisdom.
Amen.
He knows the intent of your heart. He knows the mindset and the heart set of what you're asking.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, that's like you hugging on His leg and saying, Daddy, please.
Amen. Right.
And He gives it. And He gives it liberally. He doesn't just give you little suckers to go on and play. He breaks out the Halloween candy bag.
Yeah.
Here, take it all. He gives it liberally. But it says here that we got to ask this in faith. We got to have the right heart set.
Yeah.
We can't be asking, oh Lord, just get me out of this, just to get me out. Now, sometimes we need to ask in a way, Lord, I know this is for a purpose. This right here says they're for a purpose. Give me the wisdom to see the purpose.
Amen.
Help me grow.
Amen.
See, that's a hard one. That's a hard one sometimes to remember, to ask for, because the Lord wants us to grow.
Amen.
I mean, I love my children, but at the end of the day, I'm ready for them to grow up and move on. Not really. I'm kidding. But you know, they can't stay at home forever. They got to grow up. They got to mature. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. All right? So that's how we go to it. We say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need wisdom from you to help me through this. And He gives it. But if we're wavering, He points out here, He don't give it if we're trying to be double-minded. Well, I want to follow you, Lord, but I really need this too. No. The Lord don't play that game.
Amen.
He don't.
He doesn't share His glory.
That's right. He's in it for His glory.
Amen.
And that's the whole point. I believe that's why we've met here tonight. That's why we look into His Word. That's why we go through what we go through in life so often. Because the Lord's waiting for us to turn to Him.
Yes.
But the sad, pitiful state is so often we don't.
Mm.
So often we'll just live in a state that we can't escape out of. Even though he says he's given us a way of escape. But see, if we're holding on to this side, he's still, instead of giving the glory to the God side, guess what? He'll just let you sit there.
Yeah.
There's always the escape way. But you've got to turn to God for it.
Amen.
So he says, don't let this man that thinks, well, I can have it both ways. No, it don't work that way. Mm-hmm. He's like a wave in the sea. The wind blows this way, it pushes this way. And God knows that. God knows that. I want to skip down to verse 12 and catch this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Do you know Jesus himself was tempted by the devil?
He was.
That was the first thing in his earthly ministry. After his baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and nights, I believe, to be tempted of the devil. Why do you think this is? I've always kind of questioned that thought. Why did God allow himself as man to be tempted of one of his creations? That's so intriguing. It's because of some of the thoughts you have, you're just like, that just doesn't seem to make sense. But see, I think it's for an example for us.
Amen.
Because what are we? We're men.
Amen.
And what better example to have dealing with temptations than Jesus Christ himself as man dealing with the devil? Ain't that amazing? So the devil tempts him three different times. Did you know what Jesus, how he responds every single time?
Right.
With the word of God.
That's right.
Ain't that amazing? Oh, and by the way, the devil, he quotes some scripture in there.
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
yeah.
But Jesus fought him back with scripture. See, that's how we endure through temptation. But we gotta know our word. We gotta know the sword. We gotta know what Jesus has said about it on the subject. If we don't know, then we're just in ignorance.
Right.
We gotta know. But notice he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. If you have a Strong's or a Blue Letter Bible, go home tonight. Look up the word endureth. And see how many times and the context of where that word is used and how it's used. Very intriguing. But I'm going to tell you, enduring is not enduring for a day or two or an hour or two. Enduring is lifelong.
That's right. Yeah.
I know that might not be the best news. But I'm going to tell you what, it is the best news. Because as Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When you're going through a temptation, when you're enduring through a trial of your faith, I'm going to tell you what, you will find yourself weak.
Yeah.
And the Lord, when you're weak, you're in a real good place.
Amen.
Now see, that's a paradox of the kingdom. That's the opposite of the world says. The world says you've got to be strong. The Lord says no. Now sometimes, and a lot of times, I want you weak. Because see, that's when the humble mind comes. That's when the contrite spirit comes.
Right.
That's when you stop depending on yourself. And start, you know, this inward look. We like to look inward, find the answer. No, he says, the answer ain't there. You got to look up.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive. Now, we like shalls in the Bible. Here's one of them.
Yes.
This is a promise. This is a promise from God on high. When you endure through a temptation and you come out on the other side, you shall receive something. What's he promised that you shall receive? Notice, the crown of life. Now, that's a pretty interesting object. Is it an object? Is it an actual crown? I've thought about this for just a little while, so y'all don't hang on everything I say, I guess. But you know, I considered that. What is a crown? Well, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Crowns are sometimes heavy. Made out of gold and diamonds and rubies and all, you know, fancy. It's a symbol, if you will, that points out who you are. I don't think we're talking about an actual crown. I think we're talking about something that the Lord gives you that reminds you, one, who you are. You're a child of the King.
Amen.
And the King brought you through. And notice it's the crown of life. So it helps you remember to look backwards on some things that have happened in your life to help you endure through the things that are going on right now in your life. And just like back then, and just like now, and just like in the future, who's the one that brought you through? And who's the one that deserves all the praise for it? His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I do appreciate your good time. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Stand and refresh yourself from your seat. We're going to sing the first verse of 420. Tempted and tried. Thank you.